buddy Bill Dixon.
Good morning. My name is Lenora Russo. I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity. Pastors Steve and Catherine Price are out of town this week. A lot of our leadership team was in Kansas this past week, and they will be coming in this coming week. But they are out of town, so prayers for their safety. This morning we have the privilege and pleasure of having Reverend Cliff Patrick, who is on our staff and one of our visitors, but a former local pastor in this area. He is retired clergy with our conference. He is going to be preaching and sharing the Word of God with us this morning, and so you all are in for a treat. I wanted to just point your attention this morning, as I am welcoming you, to our Connect card. Welcome our online viewers. Your Connect card is available to you as well. If you'll take a moment to pull that out of your bulletin and complete just your name and email if you're here regularly. If you're among us for one of the first times, or if today is your first time with us, we're especially glad that you are here. And any amount of information that you are willing to share with us, we will gladly receive. You can hang on to that and give this to the ushers as they come by later for our time of offering. Our mission box this week is to support our sister church in Cienfuegos, Cuba. You can read more about that in your bulletin if you would like. And there are 5 different mission boxes. Those are the wooden boxes you see as you exit the worship center. You can use those to give them any amount of financial support that you are feeling led to. We encourage you to pray for them, pray for their encouragement and their inspiration, that they may continue to share God's word throughout Cuba, and that it may make a transforming difference there. And so you can give generously if you are feeling led in any of those boxes as you need. I was thinking about the fact that when we gather together and we begin to worship, we have a liturgy that we use anytime we are doing work together. It's called Liturgy, Book of the People. And it's where I say to you, welcome home, and you all respond, it's great to be home. And I was thinking this morning about the fact that so often, maybe it's because I'm a pastor, but I think it's also just because I'm a human being, I'm busy thinking and doing, and everything is running through my head, really until that moment in our worship service. And then it's like, oh yeah, we're worshiping, and I'm here. This morning, before we do that, I'd invite you to just become present, to be here already, and allow the Holy Spirit to then welcome you here with those words. So I'm going to invite you to do something that might be a little strange for some of you, but we're going to breathe for a moment, because God is the one who gives us our breath, and then we're going to exhale, and then we will do our liturgy together. So if you're willing, eyes open, eyes closed, you choose. Everyone breathe in God's grace. Exhale. And now being fully present here, I say to you, welcome home. It is indeed. Will you stand up and greet those around you? Say hello to someone you don't know.
Morning. Join us in singing This Is Amazing Grace.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, and leaves us breathless with awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life.
Because of this amazing grace, we can maintain our faith in the face of struggles. Christ has shown us the way. He not only experienced suffering, temptation, and death, but did it all without succumbing to sin. We can be confident and assured because He shoulders our need.
God's mind.
righteousness to wash over us again and again and again, and to renew us and welcome us. And so we come this morning to worship you, to turn our eyes away from everything else, and for just a few moments to rest in your grace and allow you to transform our thinking and to renew us from the inside out. And so may that be what happens this morning for each and every one of us gathered here, whether in person or virtually in spirit. May you pour out your grace upon us. Join me in affirming our faith with the words that you see before you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We have an opportunity now to go to God in a time of prayer together. And as we do, I wanted to let you know about the folks that we're visiting in the hospital rehab and elsewhere. Please keep them in your prayers throughout the week. And if there's anyone that you know of that could use care from our visitation team, please do not hesitate to let us know. You can do that by calling the front office, emailing the main office church email address. You can email me. But we are more than happy to add someone to that list and provide care. In addition to that, I just wanted to share a couple of joys. Many of you know that my husband, Aaron Russo, who just left for the Navy, he was a pastor here. He is now a chaplain with the Navy. You've asked how he's doing. He's doing wonderfully. He is keeping up. He is not the oldest one there, so that makes him very happy. And so we are adjusting. It's been 2 weeks, but thank you for your continued prayers. And I know many of you knew that I was finishing up my Board of Ordained Ministry paperwork. I submitted all of that this weekend, and so for the 150 pages that went in, thank you for your prayers in that. And now for the reading. Pray for those who are reading it. All right, that's enough about me. We're going to go ahead and have a time now where we can take our joys and concerns to God in a time of silent prayer together. And then this morning I'm going to use our litany for the church and world. It comes from our hymnal. It is a very old prayer that has been said in our churches for decades upon decades upon decades. And most of the time we pray, one of the pastors who's leading us in prayer has crafted or just prays whatever is on our spirit. But I think there are also times to lean into these ancient words that we have used for years on end, and to allow those to resonate within us and to join our prayers with those of others around the church and around the world. So this morning we will do just that. At the end of each petition, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and then you are welcome to join me with Hear Our Prayer. Again, that will be Lord, in your mercy, and you can say with me, Hear Our Prayer. Let's go ahead and begin with a time of silence, and I will lead us in prayer. Who confess your name may be united to your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, we offer these prayers to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Give God our offering, our financial gift. These resources are used to further the ministry of our church. And that is a very important and vital reason to give, certainly. But first and foremost, we give in order to honor and glorify God. And we do so in ways that mark us as stewards who know our creative purpose is to care for everything. God has given us, from the air to the trees, to the animals, to the people, to all of the things that flow into our lives. They are all gifts from God. And by giving to God of our financial resources, we enable God's kingdom's work to be furthered. We also remind ourselves that we are God's people, and we care for everything that God entrusts to us in ways that honor Him. So as we prepare to do that this morning, will you pray with me? Holy architect of the universe, you, Lord, created the earth and the oceans. You shaped them with your hands and with your breath. You raised up the mountains and you made the valleys low. The beauty you have captured on the canvas of creation covers all of our lives. And as we breathe in this morning and as we exhale, may we do so in ways that remind us that you have called us to be stewards over this earth. And may our gifts this morning not only continue the ministries of this church, but do so in ways that magnify your glory and mark our resolve to be faithful stewards of every resource. And may we do so boldly and courageously in the name of Jesus Christ, our example, our redeemer.
overshadowing my failures and all my victories is the cross of your salvation, and that's enough for me.
I am Reverend Clifford Patrick, a retired United Methodist local pastor. I'm happy to be here today. First off, I would like to thank Pastor Steve and Kathleen for allowing me to speak this morning. Truly God, wonderful God. I served the local church across town of Botley Temple. So many years ago, maybe about 10, 15, we were invited to come and swap services with you guys. So we did come and worship here at that time. Today, I ask that you pray with me. I bring this message. Let us pray. Dear God, I surrender to you. Allow your spirit to direct us that you might be glory. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our text today is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Bring that up. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. The thought that I would like to talk with you about today is, I'm okay and you're okay. In the early 1970s, while serving in the U.S. Navy, I attended a workshop to help improve our race relations. It was based on a book by Thomas Anthony Harris, and the title was, I'm Okay, and You're Okay. It talks about four conditions of relationship when you're dealing with each other. Number one is, we all seem to think that we have it together. I'm okay. I got it. I understand where I am, and you need to measure up. That's when we get the other part, you're not okay. See, I got it, and you don't make it to my standard, so therefore you are not okay. Maybe that you don't have the status that I have. Maybe you don't have the money that I have. I know you're laughing at me. Maybe you're not as smart and bright as I am. Whatever the issue, you not okay, but I'm okay. That was the primary focus in that workshop, because everybody had issues with someone else. The other one said, I'm okay, and I'm not okay, and you're not okay. Yeah, I finally decided that, yeah, there is a little something wrong with you. But the reason why I have this issue is because of you. Still not okay. But the purpose was for us to reach the position in our relationship where we could say to each other, I'm okay, and you're okay. About 10 years later, I finally discovered why it didn't work for me. You see, the real issue was my relationship with God. I was not okay with God, and God was not okay with me. I was not okay with God because God loved me. God had sent his precious son to die on the cross of Calvary for me. He asked me to receive his son as my Lord and Savior. But I refused to accept him. Therefore, I was not okay with God. God was not okay with me because I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't believe that he was my creator. I wouldn't believe that he had all power in his hand. God was not okay with me. But one day, God's love finally brought me to the place where I decided to repent of that belief. Lord and Savior. That day when I accepted him, then my relationship was okay. God was okay with me. And I was okay with God. Now I was able to go to my brothers and sisters and say, yes, I'm okay. And you are okay. In our text today, the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches in Galatia. They had received Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they still had some issues. Paul writes that they were verbally fighting and destroying each other. They were saying, you need to be like me. Some considered Paul an enemy, because Paul was telling them the truth, the real gospel. What thus said the Lord. He had false teachers. People who were taking a part of the truth and twisting it, trying to deceive and hinder the growth of others that were trying to reach growth in God. Some wanted to go back to old traditions. Let's go back to the Sabbath day. Let's go back to the circumcision. Even though you believe by faith, you still need to follow the old tradition. They had some others who now that they received God and God's grace had decided that they would use God's grace for an opportunity to commit all types of sin. They had a few issues. So Paul was trying to address these issues by writing to them and letting them know that when you are in Christ Jesus, no longer I'm okay and you are not okay. You see, once that we have received Christ Jesus, things should change in our life. I believe he said in that verse, it says that you all are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You're no longer in the world. The attitudes, the type of relationships that are in the world is no longer in the world. You have moved into Christ. For as many have been baptized into Christ Jesus. And I need to take a little short sidebar right here. Talk about this baptism. In the New Testament, you will find there are 7 baptisms. 3 of them are not water baptism. This one is not water. If you remember, when John came announcing Jesus, he said in Matthew 3, I believe, verse 11, he said, I come baptizing you with water, but he that's coming after me, who is mightier than I am, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit baptism. Back up the importance of the Spirit baptism I'll read for you Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. If you have your Bible, go write it down and read it later. He said, if you were included in Christ, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believe, you were marked in Him with the seal. When you believe, you were marked in Him with the seal. The Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession. Thank God today, I received my confirmation. Thank God today that when I believe, God sealed me with His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I know now that Jesus is in glory, preparing a place for me, that when God gets ready to come and to redeem those that believe to Him, I'll be in that number. What Paul was trying to get them to understand, that with this new life, with this life of moving into Christ Jesus, there should be some changes in our life. He said that we should put on Christ. The number one priority in Jesus' life was obedience to God's word. That was what important to Jesus. To do what His Father had said. To receive His word. To live it out in His life. Number one, priority in Jesus. In our lives, people should be able to see. They should be able to see some of the DNA of Jesus in our life. If we don't have obedience, then they won't see anything else that we have. The love that God gives us, it is a God favor, will make us have a desire to be obedient to God, to follow His word, to live His word out in our life. Yes, you want to put on Jesus. Start with obedience, follow it up with love. Then add in a little bit of goodwill. Goodwill. Acts of love. Acts of love in support and acceptance of those that you have considered not okay. Goodwill. Love and acceptance. You consider not okay. But I want you to know right now, goodwill will cost you something. See, when you start to accept those that are not okay in your group, some of your friends won't be your friends any longer.
Goodwill will cost you something. Goodwill can cost you your job when you stand up and support those that are not okay. Goodwill is more than charity. Bringing a couple of packs of gravy is all right. That's charity. When we get into doing good with you, you see, it cost Jesus his life. Jesus came for us, his goodwill toward us that was not okay, was a sacrifice of his life on the cross of Calvary. Talking about serious commitment. Goodwill. I'm okay. And you are okay. Paul was not trying to tell the saints in Galatia that everybody was going to change and be alike. No, some would still live a different way. They would still do things different. They won't think the same. But Paul said they still are okay. We can just come to that point that we can accept and support those who don't look like us, who don't talk like us, don't have what we have. But thanks be to God, they have been born again into Christ Jesus, and we are one in Christ Jesus. I'm okay. You're okay. I want you to know today, and Jesus told us that the commandments are that we love God all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. Love our neighbors as ourselves. We began to live that out in our lives. We will find we won't have as much trouble in the church and in our neighborhood if we could learn to accept one another. I want you to know today, God loves his church. God expects us, those that are called by his name, to be a light to this dark world. You can imagine today if everybody here was saying and living that everybody here was okay and you were okay, what a light we would be to this community. I'm okay. You're okay. God didn't just leave the church, leave it alone and let it do what it wants. He placed in his church gifts to teach, guide, direct, and to let the church know what God is asking them. You look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. The Romans also have some of the gifts. When I read the list of gifts, I didn't see lawyers. I didn't see bankers, politicians, officers. But I saw apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, miracle workers. And satisfied that the church would be taught and directed according to the Holy Spirit's direction. I thank God today. I thank God for His church. I thank God for Trinity. Thank God that the Spirit of God will move in the midst of this church. Thank God today for our leader. But I want you to know God expects us. God looks for us and hopes that we will come together in unity, knowing that you're okay and I'm okay. John said in chapter 13 and verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples by the love you share one to the other. I'm okay. You're okay. Let us pray. Father, on the night before Jesus went to the cross, He took time, God, to pray for us. He took time to pray for those that will believe in Him. Father, He asked you, He said, Father, those that believe in me, let them be one as you and I are one. Let them be one together. One together with you, one together with me. Those that believe in my name. God, I ask you today to have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Amen.
Throughout the story of humanity, the scriptures tell us that in the very beginning, God was okay with us, and we were okay with God. But that changed. And we decided we were not okay with God, and God decided He wasn't satisfied with us either. And this continued. God kept sending people to us to call us back into relationship. Sometimes we'd come, and sometimes we wouldn't. God finally decided, I need to fix this permanently. I need to be able to make them okay. And so He sent His Son, Jesus, to be the sacrifice for our sin. And as Jesus gathered together with His disciples at His Last Supper, He put this into an illustration that would make it difficult for them to forget, because it was part of their hidden history, their redemption by God in Egypt. He took the bread, He offered it to God and blessed it, and broke it, and turned to His disciples and said, take, eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. Eat it as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, He took the cup, offered it to God and blessed it and turned to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. When you eat this bread and drink this juice, dear God, we pray that in this day you would make this bread and juice be for us your body and blood, that we might be redeemed by it and be your continuing presence in the world until you come again in final victory and we feast with you at the heavenly banquet. So we pray that we are all one together with you in ministry to all the world. The servers, please come forward at this time. As they do, I'd like to remind you that in the United Methodist Church, and certainly here at Trinity, our communion is open. Everyone is welcome to come as you feel led. We ask that you come by leaving your section on the left side and returning by the right. For those who would like gluten-free bread, it's at the side station. Just ask your server. Come, for all is ready.
Be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. It is well. So let go.
Almighty God, you have loved us in ways that we cannot even begin to understand, in ways that accept us regardless of our attitude towards you. Your love precedes our response to you. Today we thank you for this and praise you and ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, renew our hearts, renew our strength, renew our spirit with yours. We might be your continuing presence in the world today.
Now if you'll stand and let's sing our last song, Just a Closer Walk with You.
Now may the love of God, grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with thy people henceforth and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.